We've been reminded over the last few weeks just how important prayer is, and I want to really spend some time today to talk to you about this. One day last week, my wife and I did something that we hadn't done in years together. We sat down and we watched the news. Now, we don't typically watch the news, the local news. We don't watch the national news, partly because, news today means bad things, right? There's no good news. It's all bad news. But we sat down. My wife and I instituted a daily timeout. So when we get home, there's a half an hour period where we have to time out with each other. So we have to sit down next to each other and do something. We can't be engaged in our phones. We can't be engaged in online things and that kind of things. And I really do this for my wife because she's not here so I can talk about her. Right? She's not here so I can talk about her. My wife she's got the spirit of Martha. We are well served in our family by her. But she will work herself to an early grave if we don't stop her. I mean, that's just how she is. And so we just said we need some time to stop because life gets so busy, right? And we just, if we allow ourselves to get caught up, even when we're doing good things, we can get caught up in the things that could destroy us sometimes. You know, we need to learn how to rest in the Lord. I know that's what my wife and I are trying to learn how to do, which is hard to do when you have five kids, three-sevenths of us of which are here today. The rest of them are doing some other things this morning. But we're learning how to rest in the Lord. So we've been taking some time over the last 2 weeks, really come home and setting that time aside to talk and to do something amongst ourselves. In this particular case, we literally turned on the TV and watched the news. And it was just one bad story after another. We saw a huge fire that raged somewhere in Baltimore City that we think everybody escaped and got out, but it was like a 2 or 3 alarm fire where people were out. Then we saw another story where the service station somewhere in Baltimore City got shut down because the drug activity and the crime activity was so bad, and they felt like the owner of the service station wasn't doing anything to help the police to stop this. Then, of course, we heard stories about our government shutting down, and you can't help but when you read the news and when you turn on the TV, you're going to hear the name Trump. You're just going to hear it, whether it be good or whether it be bad, and the partisanship or the nonpartisanship that exists in our government. And so we were watching this, and we started hearing stories about how, for a Christian nation, we are some of the most intolerant people in the world. And so we sit here, and we debate, and we fuss and argue, and we won't even love each other enough to listen to another person's heart, because what we have to say and think is way more important than what you are and what you have to think and what you have to do. And so we sat there in our little time out, husband and wife time, kind of depressed when you read this, right? And then you're seeing this all the time. And I told my sister Monique last week when she gave her testimony, sometimes when you look at that from a Christian perspective, what we want to say is, well, we're going to pray about that. I mean, how many of us say we want to pray about that? Yet it sounds so trite, doesn't it? Right, to some of the who don't know Jesus, and we pray to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit today. Those who don't know who he is, it sounds trite to say, oh, we're going to pray about the victims of the doctor who abused 265 little girls and women at the University of Michigan State with nobody decided to do anything. No one decided to do anything, and that father who was in the courtroom, who was listening to this guy, watching him respond to his daughter's testimony, who tried to jump over the podium, he asked judge, please give me 5 minutes with this guy. The judge said no. He said, well, please give me 1 minute with this guy. I don't know if you saw that or not. Please give me 1 minute. And she said no. He said, okay. And then he jumps over to go get him because his daughters were there who were sexually assaulted and disrespected. And his father, who had a broken heart, didn't know what to do. And I was just thinking to myself, Lord, I would have to pray for myself. Because I imagine myself being there, and I don't even know. Honestly, I probably could not. I know I could not go to the court. You know, because one of my big, I hate to say this, because that's one of my biggest fears. is something that happened to my kids, and something that happened to my daughters, or something like that. I would go crazy, right? I would go nuts if I didn't know who God was, right? So it sounds trite then when you watch that to say, well, I'll pray about that. But church, one of the things that has been impressed upon me over the last few sermons, as we talked about Esther and as we listened to the stories of Mordecai, and as we heard Monique's testimony last week, and I want to encourage you, church, if you haven't heard her testimony, please do, because I think that's where we're going, church. I think we're walking now. I told Pastor T, one of the things I've seen for our church this year is that the scripture that comes alive, that faith without works is dead. That's something that's been coming to my mind when it comes to New Life Fellowship for this year. So we have been set up. Pastor T has been working with us and praying with us. We've been joined together to go and to do something, right? And so our faith is nothing, you know, if we just proclaim it, right? Faith without works is dead. And as we read the story of Nehemiah and his prayer, you'll see that God gives us the works out of him and his will, so that the faith that he gives us does not die on the vine in that sense. Right? But one of the things that I've learned after sitting here and listening to the two sermons Pastor T just gave on prayer, and then the testimony Monique just gave on what's going on in her life, is that prayer has to be the demarcation of our lives as Christians. So that, yes, if I come to you, you're going to say, I will pray about that. I will pray about that, because that is the building block of our relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We can't just go about our lives without prayer. We should be some of the most praying people. That is the most practical thing that you can do as you're watching the news. Pray about it. Pray about it. And if you want to know that prayer is effective and is alive, all you have to do is listen to the sermons. All you have to do is listen to testimony. Talk to each other, fellowship with one another, to see what the Spirit is doing through prayer, the prayer of those who have had the burden of God placed upon them. And we'll see that today as we talk about the story of Nehemiah and his prayer. I want to share something with you out of my study Bible as I was studying for this sermon. And I highly recommend this study Bible, by the way. It's just a really good one. So I said the prayer must be a demarcation of the Christian life. And so when I was studying the life of Nehemiah and what was going on in this book, there were like 7 or 8 things that Nehemiah did in his life through prayer. And I just want to share some of those things with you today. And when I share them with you, I want you to think to yourself, is this what's going on in my life? So in chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, Nehemiah prayed after receiving the bad news about the state of Jerusalem's walls. Have you received bad news lately? Have you received bad news for a long time or for a little bit of time? Chapter 2, he prayed during his conversation with the king. Chapter 4, after being taunted and ridiculed, he prayed. Chapter 4 also, he prayed after the threats of attack by his enemies. Do any of us have enemies in here? Do any of us have an enemy here who attacks us? Nobody has their hand raised? Okay. I see 2 hands in the back. I know. Listen, I know there's an enemy. I know you're being attacked. I know you're feeling his anger and his rage. But I want to tell you, as Mr. Armstrong used to say, I read the end of the book. And you know what? We win. We win, but we pray as we're being attacked by our enemies. Chapter 6, he prayed by responding to the threats of his enemies. Have you been threatened recently? Have you been threatened on your job, either to ship up or ship out? Have you been threatened in a relationship that you're in, either do what I say or I'm walking? Have you been threatened by the enemy? He prayed when he was threatened. He prayed in chapter 13, reflecting upon the actions of his enemies. So now we know the threats of his enemies are real. We also know that the actions of the enemy is real. And I know as I look out into the congregation, each and every one of you have felt the actions of the enemy. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. You know what Jesus, the Satan does not want you to hear the name of Jesus and know that you're saved. And know that you have everything that he says you can have. That his promises are yes and his promises are true. He wants to take that away from you. And he spreads your lie. He spreads his lies so that you maybe or maybe not believe that. So he prayed, reflecting on the actions of his enemies. And he prayed, reflecting on his own efforts to serve God. His own efforts to serve God. Do you pray about your efforts to serve God? Now, I know you hear us come here in church every Sunday, and we're talking about walk the walk and talk the talk. We talk about moving in partnership with Jesus. And in participation with him, do you pray about those things with the Father, with the Son, and with the Spirit? Or is this, again, is it just sort of, we sit here and we let our faith just sort of sit with us? Or is our faith accompanied by the works that God gives us? So when Nehemiah prayed, we see someone who, number one, saw with God's eyes the plight of his people. So do you, when you look at the bad news of this world, when you look at the things that are going on, do you look at it from God's perspective? Or do you look at it from a selfish perspective? That if things were only done the way I think they should be, oh Lord, I want to pray for this. Or do you see the world for what it truly is? Called to God, but people not knowing because they're walking in darkness and hurt and pain and suffering. Nehemiah saw this. He also prayed with the heart of God. Do we ask to have the heart of God when we're interacting with folks, when we're praying for folks, when we're praying for other people? When we look on the screen and we see something we just disagree with so vehemently, do we pray for the heart of God and see that person or see that action for what it really is? Do we take off our own sunglasses? And Pastor T, when he first came to us, you remember those googly eyes glasses he had that he put on? And how he was walking around looking kind of crazy like Mr. Magoo? Like this, walking around, and all of a sudden you take it off and I can see clearly now? The shades are gone, right? Do we pray according to that way that we have the heart of God? Because when he prayed, he prayed for the heart of God. He had... And he saw what God saw. And then God, he received a godly burden that God had for his people. Where do you think the good feelings or the burdens you have, where do you think those come from? Do you think they just come from the goodness of, well, who you are? And if you think that's the case, I have a set of scriptures I want you to read with me. We can make an appointment to read together. If you think that out of your own goodness comes all these good things that you're doing. All good things come from God. God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. And he gives you a burden if you see what he sees and if you pray and feel like he prays and feels, and you can receive the godly burden. And then Nehemiah was moved to action in the Spirit. Moved to action in the Spirit. How many of us are moving to action in the Spirit? Or are we still walking in fear? That the scripture says has been tossed out by the love, the perfect love of God cast out fear. How many of us are still walking in fear? Nehemiah was moved to action as he saw and as he had the burden and as he received those things from God, then he moved. And that's my prayer for my own life. Church, and that's my prayer for the life of New Life Fellowship, that we see how God sees, that we feel how God feels, and that we receive what God wants us to receive so that we can go where he wants us to go. Do you think Monique thought, I don't even know, years ago that she would be walking that walk? But that's what God wanted her to do. That's what he wanted her to do. What does God want you to do? What does God want you to do? And are you blocking the burden he's trying to give you because you're not seeing like he's seeing and you're not feeling from the heart of God like he feels for the people we see? Or are we making the judgment against God and his people? What is it that God wants you to do? What does he want you to see? And church, I want to say to you that that starts with prayer. and praying the right way. Nehemiah cried out to God in prayer on behalf of his people for God to restore them to the promised land. So as we read the story of Nehemiah and rehearse his prayer life, we're reminded that we follow a God who forgives, redeems, and who supplies whatever we need to accomplish his purpose. So think about the last two sermons, because really I'm kind of giving the same sermon that Pastor T gave when we went through Esther. When you think about it, God has something that he's trying to accomplish in this world. And this is the most amazing thing to me about it when I think about God. God refuses to be who he is without us. Isn't that amazing? God wants us with him. He says, I want you with me, and I want to be God this way. I'm going to be Son this way. I'm going to be Holy Spirit this way, so that I can accomplish my purposes with you. Have you thought about your walk that way lately, church? That God is doing, and he wants us to come with him. So the first point I want to bring out to you is Nehemiah prays out of a burden for his people. We talked about a burden. Where did the burden come from? So we know Nehemiah, if just for a little bit of a historical background, this was the third return from exile that the Israelites were making back to where they were promised, back to their land. And Nehemiah at this time, as maybe some of us are going to be one day, was high up in the government of King Artaxerxes. And now he was moved because there was something going on with God's people that wasn't right. And he says in Nehemiah 1, verse 1, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. Then Nehemiah says in verse 4, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So we see Nehemiah responding out of the news and out of the burden of the love that God had for his people. See, without the walls back then, those people were unprotected. That they had no way of protecting themselves. And a broken down wall meant danger for God's people. And Nehemiah, moved with the burden of God's people, cried out. When you look on TV, or you go on the internet and you read your social media posts or you read your news feeds or whatever, are you moved to tears by what's going on in our country, in our world? Is your heart broken for the brokenness that exists in this world? Do you feel the burden of God who died for all? Who died for all? Does your heart break? Or do you get angry and frustrated? Do you feel moved to fast and mourn? When's the last time you fasted for something? Don't raise your hand. Since we stopped keeping, what's the holiday? I forgot now. Yes, the Day of Atonement. Since we stopped doing that, how many of you have fasted once in the year for something? You got one hand. I said, don't raise a hand. She raised a hand. Okay. So we got one righteous person among us there. All right. But how many of us have fasted or had neglected ourselves and deprived ourselves so that we can get closer to God to see how he sees and to feel and have his heart? Or do we get caught up in the mess and we forget who we are? And so we can't even pray. Because we are so, we segment ourselves and our opinions to those who think like us. and feel like us and feel we have the solution to life's problems. I want to tell you again, if you want to know who has the solution to life's promises, I have a Bible study and a talk I have one to give you for that as well. Because I can tell you, we don't have it. We don't have it. And Nehemiah knew that they didn't have it. So he cried out and he fasted and he prayed to his God. And how often do we do that? Church, I'm here to say, you know, again, as a reminder of what we heard the last few weeks, church, that should be something we do on the regular, as they say. Right? That should be one of the things we're practicing always, to pray. Do we have a hardness of the heart that prevents us from seeing and feeling like God does? Again, no hands. Although we could probably all raise our hands in that sense. And that's why we need prayer. Is our prayer life hindered because of a self-centeredness? Lord, why don't you hear me? Why aren't you answering my prayer, Lord? Do we see the Lord as a revolving bank account? Do we see him as a do something for me, Lord? Or do we pray, Lord, give me eyes to see. Lord, give me ears to hear. Lord, give me a heart. Do we pray that way? Give me a heart for your people so that when I look on TV and when I read the internet feeds, my heart is broken like your heart is, O Lord. And then I can receive the burden that you have for your people, not just the Democrats or not just the Republicans or not just whoever it is or whatever group you most closely aligned to, but God's people. Do we have his heart? Can we cry out and have the burden for others like Nehemiah did? And church, this is a very real thing. This is not biblical history in this sense. It is historical because we're talking about BC, before Christ, and we're talking about the children of Israel. But again, we're talking about the lives that we lead and the things that Jesus Christ is doing in our life today through the Holy Spirit, just like he did back in the time of Nehemiah. Are we connected to the life of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit through prayer so that we can receive the burden that he has for you and for me, but not just you and me, but for Windsor Mill and the people in Windsor Mill, but not just for the people in Windsor Mill, Baltimore and the people in Baltimore. Where are you? Where do you work? Where do you live? You know, wherever those places are, ask yourself those questions. Lord, is my heart broken? Do I have a burden for the things that are happening where I am, Lord? Lord, here I am. Can we say that? Send me. I dare you to say, here I am, Lord. Send me. I'll say it for New Life Fellowship. Lord, here we are. Send me. Send her. Send her. Send him. I can say it for us. Pastor T, you want to say it with me? Pastor Tony, Pastor Dave, Pastor Ann, we're here. That's what we're doing. That's what we want to do. Just like not Nehemiah had a heart and a burden for his people.